Welcome to Speak Up Las Cruces. We're joined this next half hour by former State Representative Bill McCamley, who has been working on something that I think is kind of very important and not getting a whole lot of attention. First of all, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Walt. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dr. Baker.
You can call me Nancy.
I can't.
Yeah. 25 years later, you could call me Nancy.
No, it's funny. I still see some of my high school teachers. Like, okay, so Del Hansen, who was actually still an assistant principal at Mayfield when I was there, was the guy that really gave a lot of the attention to the non-sports stuff. So he would go to all the marching band competitions, and I was on academic decathlon, and he would be the guy giving us recognition when we won. And I can't call him Dale. And he's like, Bill, you're 47 years old. I'm not Mr. Hansen anymore. I'm like, I'm sorry. It's hard. Change is hard.
It is.
That's and why that could be most of us the leave themes home. Of your, yeah. So well, yeah, what so. You're talking about is also change is hard and how we see young men and in the culture, the larger culture. So tell us about this project you're working on.
Well, I moved back to New Mexico from Texas after a fairly traumatic experience I had in my job as the Secretary of Labor. So I ran the unemployment office during COVID, and people were literally trying to kill me and blowing up cars in our parking lots and getting my mom's address. And so I went to Austin with a car and four bags of clothes and lived there for 3.5 years. But after the last election, made a decision to come back here and tried a couple things to add value to the discussion about how we make our community better. And I've really settled on this topic of men in America. There is becoming a much wider gap in how we think and view things. And I would say that that gap is manifest in two ways. And I truly believe that the next 10 to 20 years of political discussion in this country will be about two things. Where you live, do you live in an urban area or rural area? And you see that with the map. You see all the Republicans. Trump got all these votes. I'm like, well, most of the people live in the cities, right? But that's a big issue. And you see a lot of times Democrats on the left saying, you're trying to bring your farm values to us. And Trump on the right is all these evil cities. I'm sending the National Guard in. And so I truly believe that where you live is going to be one of the biggest definitional things. And the other is, are you a man or a woman? And once again, you see that in the breakdown of the votes that happened for all these elections. And we've got to try to find a way to be better with both sides of that issue. And historically, I think it's very, very important to point out, and I took civil liberties with Nancy when I was 25 years ago, a junior or senior in college. It is really important. We need to look at the historical barriers that men who have been in power have placed before women. There's a whole list of them. You can say, hey, women didn't get the right to vote until 1919, and women were not in every state able to get a business loan without a male cosigner until 1988. So there's a whole lot of recognition that has to happen
That's amazing.
That's the one I point out the most because I'm 47 years old. Like, I'm not young anymore, but I'm no spring chicken. And I was 10 when women across the country could get a business loan without having to get.
Do you remember which state that was?
I don't remember. I think it might have been a federal law that finally kind of made it even. But it was it's an interesting thing you bring up states because women were not allowed to get no-fault divorce anywhere until California passed in, I think, 71. And that in and of itself lowered the amount of domestic violence, lowered the amount of murders, lowered the amount of depression that women were facing. And unfortunately, you're seeing a pushback now. There's five states in the Republican Party platform that want to get rid of no-fault divorce. And three of those states, I think it's Nebraska, Arkansas, and Texas, that has actually been introduced as legislation. So we got to recognize that. That is super important. And we all, as guys, need to understand when women get pissed off at us for certain things that we say, that is hugely important for us to realize and understand that we have no idea at all the types of things women go through. You know, I heard the best example of this is a guy was talking to a group of people of both genders, and he said, hey, fellas, what are the steps you take when you're going out on a date to make sure you're safe? And guys are like, what? Like, I don't understand what that means. Yeah. And you say, hey, women, you want to hold up your hands if you have a safety protocol? And every hand goes up. And they're like, I make sure a friend knows where I'm at. And I have mace on my keychain. And I park my car under a streetlight. And guys are like, what the hell? Because we just don't know, right? So that's important. However, it is important for us to acknowledge that two things can be true at the same time.
Yes.
A lot of young men especially see a society today that is slanted against them. And there are some data points that suggest that many of them may have a point.
Yes.
Education being the number one example. Let me throw some stats at you.
Yep.
75% of the educators we have in schools across the United States are women. Boys learn better from men. And there are definitely chances that a boy might not have a male teacher their entire K-12 experiences. I had eight. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, my entire 12 years of schooling, I can absolutely name to you the eight teachers I had. I had Mr. Penn in fifth grade. He taught English. I had Mr. Andrews teach algebra in eighth grade. I had Coach Shorter, who was my PE and tennis coach in middle school. And then my five high school teachers were Mr. Shock, Mr. Smith, Mr. Scroggs, Mr. Andrews, and Mr. Castetter. I can't name you all my women, but I, as a guy, obviously had some kind of connection with those guys because I haven't been in school in 30 years and still remember every single man I had. And so a lot of guys are saying, where's the person that's going to teach to my style that understands where I'm coming from? And that translates into stats. Boys are twice as likely to be suspended. I think they're even more likely to be expelled.
Mm-hmm.
89% of girls graduate from high school. Only 84% of boys do. 70% of valedictorians last year were girls. And so obviously something's going on in public schools. You can say there's a ton of resources for girls. There are organizations in every possible area, leadership, sports, STEM, business. My friend out in Austin, Brandon, said to me, I have a high school son and an eighth grade daughter. And my daughter has all of these places where she can get support. She's got organizations here and support systems here. You know what my son has? You want to guess what he said?
Me.
Football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you get.
A lot of guys don't have a male teacher until they get a coach.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
Or shop.
And that translates to college too. There are four times as many scholarships available for women to get into school as men. Schools usually have double-digit organizations available to them just for women that are academic and professional in nature. Stanford actually did a study of their own processes, and they found 16 academic and professional organizations just for women. There were no equivalent organizations for men. Now, you might say that exists to overturn this historical issue that we've had, and that is valid and real. And what men will come back and say is this: what is the rate by gender of students who get into school across the United States right now?
Right.
Any clue?
55, 45?
60, 40.
Okay.
And since men drop out of school more, the graduation rate is pretty close to 2 to 1.
Wow.
So if guys are going in there and saying, wait a minute, all these women are getting all this help. You have all these organizations through K-12. You have all these scholarships available. The teachers look like you. Mm-hmm. I don't get the help. What the hell? Right? And there's other things that men will say too. And that's why I think it is really important for us as a society to say, all right, there's two sides to this story here. And guys are losing in a lot of ways. Men are 12 times more likely to be in prison than a woman. 4 times more likely to put a gun to our head and blow our heads off. Mm-hmm. 3 times more likely to be addicted to hard drugs. Men are more likely to be addicted to porn, more likely to be obese, and as we talked about, less likely to go to school. And that is starting to translate to economic opportunity.
And less likely to have a mate.
We're getting there. But that economic opportunity leads to what you were talking about, Walt, which is professional young men are actually less likely to be employed now than women when they get out of school. Now, a lot of that is because of the choice of occupation. Men want to fix stuff. When they go to school, they get into engineering, they get into financial services, they get into computer coding. They want to go work in a factory. These are the types of jobs that are being replaced by robots and AI. Aye. Women are going into jobs like healthcare, like education, like social work, all the people jobs. I've heard it called as the HEAL series of professions, health, education, and literacy. Mm-hmm. And those jobs are not going to be replaced by AI or robots. Now, you can say, well, why aren't guys doing this? And there's a whole series of societal reasons for that. But that's true. Like, men are, when they're coming out of school, less likely to be employed a little bit and make less money.
You know, I want to break in here a little bit.
Shoot.
I know when I was growing up, it was very rare in elementary school to have a male teacher. I certainly did by high school have male teachers. But at that time, it was salaries. The salaries were so low that men did not want to become teachers. Is that still an issue? Are you finding that it's not that women, men are not being hired, it's that they're not choosing to go in it because they don't see it as really a viable career path?
From the research that I have done, it is much more of that's women's work.
Ah, and so men themselves are editing themselves out of the story.
Well, some.
Yeah.
The few guys that do go into, for instance, early childhood.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that don't trust them.
Ah, I do see that.
Yeah. My friend John, I just did an hour-long interview with him. He's a male nurse. And he said sometimes patients, when I go in there, they're like, where's my female nurse?
Right.
Like, they don't think that he is as capable, or because we have these roles in our society that we fit people in. And that's a problem.
We see women as more nurturing and caring and, you know, more.
And some are.
And we see them for that way for a reason.
But that's a gender role thing that absolutely exists. But what I'm saying is this, you know, when I was in your class, we talked about the gender gap in terms of wage. Right.
Yes.
And there still is one overall. It's about 89 cents on the dollar now.
Yeah.
So it's come up. For 25 to 34 year olds, it's basically gone. It's like 95 or 96 cents on the dollar.
Get rid of the 150 billionaires, and then what is it?
That's right, because those 150 billionaires or whatever are mostly men.
Yeah, that's my point.
And women are coming out, they're going to school more, which means they're in promotable jobs more. They're getting the jobs that are more likely to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good point, Walt. If we're going to take those guys out, then I would probably argue that the gender wage gap for young people is gone.
Right.
And frankly, in the next 10 or 20 years, might flip. Women might be making more. There's a very good opportunity for that to happen because of what we're seeing with the educational opportunities. And so that leads to Walt's point. And after this, I'll shut up and answer any questions you guys have. But so much of this come, like the depression issues, the suicide issues, the withdrawal issues come down to 52% of young men live at home still with their parents. Only 26%, so half that rate, of young women do. A lot of guys can't afford a house. I'll tell you, I voted yesterday for city council, and my vote on city council was purely based on the candidate that said, I want more housing. Mm-hmm. And the other guy said, apparently at a forum, I will vote to repeal the zoning rules that allow for more housing.
Correct.
If we truly want men to feel better about themselves, one of the things we're really going to have to look at is, how the hell can someone afford an apartment or even buy a home? Because men still rate buying a home as one of their highest qualifiers of success.
Yes.
Women, young women are buying homes at two or three times the rate of young men. Yeah. Twice the rate. It's 8% of men and like 20% of women that are buying the homes that are single.
Yeah. I know that there was a lot of push by my mother and previous generations of women, you get an education, because ultimately, husbands die, husbands leave you. There's all sorts of things that could happen, and you have to be able to protect yourself and your children. So it was a mantra in my family that the girls go to school. And so we have two PhDs, my sister and I.
78% of Americans believe today that school isn't worth it if you have to take out loans. 78%.
Yeah. And costs are so much higher for school.
And that's going to get worse with AI. They are getting recent college graduates are getting killed.
Well, this is the thing universities have to reckon with.
Yes.
Because they have been in an arms race. Universities have way too many administrators.
Yes.
Yale actually has more administrative staff at Yale, not teachers, but administrative staff than students.
It's crazy.
And schools have been in an arms race to provide these almost luxury accommodations, new dorm rooms, new food service halls. Texas Tech has a lazy river, a bleeping lazy river. And what has that had an effect on schooling?
Yeah.
Rates of cost for schooling have gone up twice what inflation is.
Yeah.
And a lot of men are saying, bleep this.
Yeah. And especially because it doesn't help them in the job market.
It doesn't help them in the job market.
So I know this is overly simplistic, but we're down to our last 10 minutes, and I'm going to just throw it out there. I really believe a lot of this stems from the Me Too movement, and which introduced this phrase, toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
And I hear that, and to my ears, that's everything. Everything masculine is toxic. Football? Oh, you like football. Yeah, that you're the everything. Every traditional male role that I was brought up as a young boy thinking this is what you do when you get to be a man.
Yeah.
All of that has been labeled as toxic.
You know, I do disagree with you, but we'll let Bill jump
please,
in here.
Please.
Well, because I think the Me Too movement was really critical for women to suddenly say, yeah, that wasn't just, that wasn't okay what this guy did to me 20 years ago. Yeah. I mean, and you're suddenly, it's like a light goes off. Yes, there's always anger that comes off of those realizations, but I love men regardless if they like football or if they like hiking and fishing. I think toxic masculinity refers to more explicit sexism that shows up in interactions with men. For instance, as a woman, especially when I was a new faculty member and I'd be in a meeting with other equal faculty members and I'd have a point, it wouldn't be heard until it was repeated by a male faculty member. There were only maybe at the time I got my PhD, 20% of women constitute only 20% of PhDs in political science. Not that that is how the world ought to operate now, but I think that toxic masculinity, I have a very clear idea, but it's not maleness.
Well, can I interject here?
Yes, please do.
I think you're both right, and you are both very clearly setting example. I think the issue we have, which is we are all the star of our own soap opera.
Yeah.
And women are saying, hey, especially straight white guys, you have owned everything, ran everything for centuries, if not millennia. All of this negative stuff has happened to me. You just brought up a thing for you. Women bring up the fact that they are interrupted more, that they've had sexual harassment, that they've had discrimination, unfortunately rape. All those things, that is real and that is valid. And there are women out there that say all men are the problem. I know because I had a conversation yesterday with many of them on my Facebook site.
Oh my gosh.
I was called the problem. I don't deserve a seat at the table. One woman was begging me as a new intelligent man to agree with her that most men are terrible. That's a literal quote.
Right.
But as a woman, I can't agree with that.
Well, I just think that some folks on the left, especially women, have had these terrible things and there is pain. And there is real pain. And a lot of guys don't recognize that.
Yes. And the pain comes with anger.
And that lashes out to where it's almost like if you don't self-flagellate as a man, you're not good enough.
Right.
On the flip side, I also got into conversations on YouTube with some guys who were begging me to agree with them that the Democratic Party had gone quote unquote Looney Tunes and getting away from all that. And there's a lot of men that 47% of young men in America believe that the word feminist means that women are trying to put them down to raise themselves up.
Rather than inequality.
Only 36% disagree with that and the rest don't know. So probably more than half of men, young men, believe that feminism exists to erode what they are, who they are, and put them down in order to make women go up. And I think some of those stats I was giving you about, especially the education,
reaffirms.
That's where they're coming from. And that's where Tucker Carlson, who I disagree with 1,000% on almost everything, he comes out and says, well, men in America are being destroyed. That's where they come from. And I think it's important for me to come out and say, we need to have, especially on the political left, enough compassion and grace and patience in our hearts to recognize both sides.
I think that's completely fair.
We can walk and chew gum at the same time. Yeah. We can be on the political left, the party of pushing back on this Pete Hegseth BS where he wants to take away women's right to vote. And Donald Trump is a rapist as president. Like, none of that stuff is okay. It's not okay. We need to actively fight against it. And I know that I have a role to play in that as a straight white guy who has benefited some of those rules. I get that. I really do. And guys, Walt, we need to grow more of a callus when people lash out at us for things that we don't understand. I've come to that conclusion. I used to go to DEI training as the straight white guy and just get yelled at. And I was like, what the bleep did I do? I'm here to try to make things better. Mm-hmm. No one wants to listen to me. And I need to be better. And I think a lot of us need to be better listeners. Yeah. Also, I found a TED Talk with a woman who used to be a CEO at Gannett, who wrote a whole book on trying to bring men into the diversity conversation. And she said, hey, ladies, if we're just talking to ourselves, it ain't going to work.
Yes.
And she spoke with some DEI trainers who admitted that the whole point of their training was to make men feel guilt. Mm-hmm. And if they cried, so much the better.
Mm-hmm. And that's so dysfunctional. When I taught law and sex all those years at New Mexico State, one of the things we would always begin with is all the important civil rights actions for women started with male plaintiffs who had been severely disadvantaged. And as a result, we then have this ability, the law should be looking at the plaintiff and the merits of the case and decide what is just and legal without regard to if it's male or female.
Well, and Sarah Silva, who's a local state representative, you know, her profession is doing DEI training, and she is brilliant at it. She brings everyone to the table. She listens to everyone. She talks about the positive things that diversity bring to an organization rather than, hey, this is, you know, Me Too. You guys are a bunch of evil ass. Sorry, I got to watch my saying on the radio. That sort of thing. And I think that's where we kind of need to go. But I've come to the realization that we need to have on the political left that compassion for both sides and
conversations.
But I think we can do this. I think that Democrats and the political left can say, we're going to be for women in these areas, and that's important, and we should do that. And we can do incentive programs for more male teachers. Mm-hmm. We can do retention programs for apprenticeship and community college programs to keep men in the things that they want to do. Those types of things, we can chew gum and walk at the same time.
And the thing that I think was missing from the Me Too movement was a modicum of grace. A modicum of grace. So we lump Al Franken in the same boat as Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Al Franken, we give up a United States Senate seat. I'm not a Democrat. The Democrats give up a United States Senate seat over a tasteless photo by a guy who was a comedian at the time he took it. We've got to have a little grace.
There's a Democrat comedian. I think his name's Al Marone or Marin or something like that. And he's got a really good thing. He's like, Democrats, we got to really figure out this buzzkill problem. I mean, we got to admit we've annoyed people into fascism. And there's things like there is this comedian that started out his Netflix special with a joke about domestic violence. That's not bleeping funny.
No,
it's not. However, people also like to have a good time. And if nothing is enjoyable, which, frankly, some on the left like to make. We had the No Kings protest a couple of weeks ago, and I got into it with some people on the left who said, all you people showing up aren't good enough. You're not in the fight. And it was like, and you're having a good time.
Right.
Yeah, this is great. And more people want to have a good time. Why would we not meet people where they're at and invite them into a movement that they enjoy being in? We need to deal with that stuff, too.
That's got to be a small percentage.
It was, but that's what people hear. And frankly, Nancy, there was in 2017, there was a column written to the Washington Post mm-hmm. by a feminist who said, it's right for us to hate men. And she literally advocated for every man to not run for office anymore, refuse any leadership position, and only vote for feminists. And I got that a little bit yesterday. There was a lot of feminists were pushing back on a chapter from my book I wrote on how the Democratic Party has a lot of times, it seems like they've abandoned men. The DNC's website has a web page that says who we serve. Yeah. And it starts with Democrats are the party of inclusion and has 16 categories. I'm not on there.
Yep.
And a lot of women will say, well, you've been the organizational structures of this country are you. You have had all of the representation for so long. And that's right. And I agree with that. But if a lot of young men are not feeling that way, some of the data is showing that that is changing. And that can be a very good thing. And I want that. I want more women. I want more diversity. Those are true. But if men feel attacked, like the 47% that feel that feminists are about screwing them.
Yeah.
So that women can do better, they're going to go to another side of the S.
I think we've been seeing that. And I think that's why your book is very important for waking up maybe some in the leadership positions and sobering some of us on.
Well, I just hope we can do both. That's really all I'm asking for is we got to try to have compassion and understanding and try to build a better country for everybody.
Yep.
Understanding the historical stuff and understanding women's pain. And trying to listen to and understand a lot of these young men who are blowing their brains out all over the place. That's not good enough.
For people who want to follow what you're doing?
So I write all my chapters on Substack. Okay. You can look up the name of the book is Write My Dudes, Now What? How to Be a Man in the 21st Century Without Being a Dick. And you can look it up. And any kind of feedback anybody has would be much, much appreciated.
Well, it's been a fascinating discussion and I think a necessary one. And we appreciate you coming on.
Thank you all so
much.
You
are always interesting and articulate. Fun to see you again, Bill.
Thank you, ma'am.